Let us pray together. God, our helper, show us your holy ways and teach us your paths. By your Holy Spirit, open our minds that we may be led in your truth and taught your will. Then may we praise you by listening to your word and by obeying it. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Our scripture lesson today comes from the book of Luke, chapter 16, verses 19 through 31. You can follow along in your pew Bibles on page 1626 or on the screens. Let us now hear the word of our Lord. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried in hell, where he was in torment. He looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, "Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire." But Abraham replied, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, while Lazarus received bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us." He answered, "Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them, so that they will not also come to this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them." "No, Father Abraham," he said, "but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent." He said to them, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced even if someone rises from the dead."
Thank you. Okay, so in my classroom, I ask a question a lot throughout the day. I ask the question, "What do you notice?" And it's a way, really, not just to see things, but to teach things. Holland, can you hold this orange for me? Holland, can you hold the orange? Great. So if I asked you, "What do you notice about that orange?" What would you say? What's something you notice about it? You can each have a turn. The orange, the color is orange. Perfect. Henry, what do you notice about that orange? What does it feel like?
Potato.
It does feel a lot like a potato, absolutely.
Potato.
It feels like a potato too. What does it smell like? If you smell it, what does it smell like?
Lemon.
It smells like juice. What kind of juice? Apple juice?
Lemon.
You think it smells like lemon? Yeah. So we see, okay, so guys, we see the orange. But what we notice about it is important. Our story today. Really? Where do you go with mashed potato? I have an idea. Okay. Do you know what? There was a rich man in the story who loved mashed potatoes. Henry, do you know the rich man in the story loved mashed potatoes? He had fancy, pretty clothes. He had lots. Yeah. He loved potatoes. So, and then there was a poor man who was sitting outside his house. He was sitting, and he was so sad. Henry, he was so sad. He had no potatoes to eat. He was so sad, and he was begging for food. So then the rich man. I really recognize this is not going the way. I just want to let you know. I'm going to just roll with it. I'm going to keep talking. All right, I'm going to hold Doggy. I'm going to tell Doggy the story. So Doggy the rich man would walk by the poor man, and he saw him, and he would throw him some crust, maybe an orange, perhaps. Okay, Doggy wants to hear the story. You want to hold it and let Doggy hear it? So where was I in this great story that I planned for about 3 hours yesterday? So the rich man, all right. So the rich man would walk by the poor man and would give him some food, but wouldn't really help him, helped him by giving him some food. Well, I can't give you the orange if you're not gonna sit and listen to my story, because I'm trying to talk and you're making a lot of noise. If you sit quietly, I'll gladly give you my orange. Would you like to sit and hold the orange? But you have to be quiet. It's a quiet orange. Okay? If you hold it. Okay. So who? When you hold the orange, you need... So the whole moral of the story is that while we see things, it's very important to notice them and to do something. Let's just end this disaster in a prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for young children and for their love of life and for their energy. Lord, perhaps the children's message that I needed to hear was for myself, and I thank you for being able to develop it in my mind, and perhaps throughout the day we will hear more of your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
So one of my favorite movies growing up was Mary Poppins. Anyone seen Mary Poppins? Yeah? Okay. There was one part of the movie that was always a little bit boring. It drug on a little bit. You remember the bird woman there in the square of the church? Feed the birds, tuppence a bag. So, of course, that it's a slow song. You know, I always probably fell asleep during that part. But so the thing that stands out to me, though, that I remember most about that particular sequence is that Mary Poppins is preparing the children to go with their father to work at the Dawes, Tomes, Mousley, Grubbs, Fidelity, Fiduciary Bank, right? They were going to go learn about the very important things that their father, Mr. Banks, does. And so Mary Poppins wanted to tell them about what they were going to see along the way. They were going to see the bird lady. And so Michael Banks, the boy, has tuppence, that he wants to take and feed the birds with to support the woman who is collecting the seed and trying to make a living, basically, by selling to the birds. This is a poor woman, and she is hoping that people will give her money in order to buy little bags of seed that they can feed the birds with. This is her job. But Mr. Banks sees that tuppence could be used instead to invest in the bank and gain interest, and tries to excite Michael by this song about the wonders of compound interest. Of course, now that I have my own retirement account, I know about the wonders of compound interest, and I can understand that perhaps a little bit better. When Mr. Banks ridicules his son for wanting to feed the birds, Michael says to him, she's singing the song. And he says, well, of course she's singing it. What else could she possibly be singing? He sees her. He knows that she's there, Mr. Banks does. But the question is, does he really see her? Mary Poppins says that Mr. Banks can't see past the end of his nose. He sees her, but does he really see her? Cheryl was going to help us understand about an orange, to help us notice things about this orange. Now, everyone's seen an orange before. Most of us have probably tasted an orange before. We know what they are, but if you actually take a really close look at it, you'll notice things that perhaps you didn't notice before. And if you want to know more about that, I'm sure Cheryl would be happy to tell you about those very things that she didn't get to share because of some kids up here. I don't know whose they are. In our parable today, Jesus tells the story of two men. One, whose name we don't know, is a rich man. He wears purple clothes, fine linen. Of course, as we're sitting in Sunday school talking about this morning, I happened to look down and see that because of the season of Lent, I happen to have a purple tie on. So, rich man, and a beggar who sits at his gate, whose name we know, Lazarus. A first point of interest in this story is that the rich man goes unnamed, but the poor man, we know his name, which is just the opposite of how we would expect the story to go. If I were to say a rich man who wears fine clothes or who has a lot of money, lives in a nice house, is perhaps well known by all of the other people in town, there are a lot of images that might come to mind for us. And we can probably attach names to those images. If I were to show you pictures of famous people who are famous because they have a lot of money, you would probably be able to tell me who they were just on sight. Because in our society, we too value the rich people, the powerful people, the people that have been very successful. They're perhaps people that we look up to in business or in sports, perhaps. But the poor man, the beggar, Lazarus, when that image comes to mind for us, probably there's no name associated with the person. The nameless, faceless poor. So Jesus says, these two men, rich man, fine linen, purple clothes, lives a life of luxury, and sitting at his gate, a beggar, Lazarus, who has sores on his body, and the dogs come and lick the wounds. And both of these men die. The rich man is buried and goes to Hades in the Greek, the imagery around it, you know, fire, torment, all of those things. You can kind of fill in the blanks for yourself about where you think that is. And the poor man, gathered by the angels, Lazarus, goes to be with Father Abraham. All right, so now we have these two folks, these two guys, one who has experienced many things in this life, and the other who has experienced many bad things in this life. And the one who has experienced the bad things goes to be with Father Abraham. The one who experienced the good things is in torment. And he says, he yells across this chasm for Abraham to send Lazarus to come and dip his finger in some cool water and to come and put it on the rich man's tongue to try to cool off some of his torment. So the first question that we could perhaps ask ourselves in this parable is, why is it that one person goes to Hades and the other one goes to be with Father Abraham? Jesus is telling this story to some Pharisees, as he often does. And in the preceding verses to this parable, Luke, the writer, tells us that the Pharisees have a love of money. Now, money is not a bad thing. In fact, money can be a very good thing. Right? There is a lot of good work that can happen because God's people have money. Right? We're not denouncing money here. If everyone didn't have money, then who would be there to care for those who were in need, right? Okay, good. So we've established that money can be a good thing. All right. So for the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, they are experts in this stuff. And if you were to look at parts of the Old Testament, you could come to the conclusion that those who follow God's law will be blessed, and those who don't follow God's law will be cursed. Right? That's in the book of Deuteronomy and a couple of other places where the law is given. The people, when they sort of sign on to this covenant, know that God has promised them that if they do good things, then they will receive rewards, blessings, and if they don't do good things, if they don't follow God's law, then they will experience curses. So if you look at this parable at face value, if you're following that logic, you would say what? That the rich man is what? Righteous. Because he's followed God's law. He's rich because he's followed God's law. And Lazarus, the beggar, must have done something wrong, right? He must be a sinner to be in the predicament that he is in. Which is a very logical sort of thing to come up with if you look at parts of the Old Testament. When Jesus tells this parable, it seems to suggest something else, doesn't it? It seems to suggest that perhaps the letter of the law in this case is not enough. What is the spirit of the law? The rich man yells across back to Lazarus and says, well, if he can't cross this great chasm that is between us, then at least send Lazarus back to my brothers to warn them to repent so that they don't suffer the same thing that I've suffered. If I got it wrong, then they're getting it wrong too. So send Lazarus back. To which Abraham responds, they have the law and the prophets. Seems Jesus is saying a faithful reading of the law and the prophets results in repentance. That leads to what? What could the rich man have done differently? Any ideas? What could the rich man have done differently in this case? What would repentance look like in his situation? Go ahead, yell out. Compassion, okay. Shared what he had, okay. Other ideas? Well, all right, compassion, shared what he had, good thoughts, good ideas. That would be fruits of repentance in that case. Abraham says, they have the law and the prophets. That's what the law and the prophets say, right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, with all that you are, all that you have, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. Pastor Tom said it almost like that just a few minutes ago. It's something we hear every week. It's that compassion. It's that sharing. The man says, yeah, they've read the law and the prophets, but if I didn't get it, they're not getting it either. So send Lazarus back to them and they'll believe him. To which Abraham replies, if they didn't believe the law and the prophets, then they're not going to believe, even if someone rises from the dead. Of course, what we know is that someone indeed is going to rise from the dead in this story a few chapters later. The question becomes, will Jesus, as fulfillment of the law and the prophets and his gospel, be enough to call the people to repentance? The rich man in this story, believe it or not, I think, was compassionate to some degree, right? It's his gate that Lazarus is sitting at begging. He allows him to sit there. We don't often think of begging as a career or an occupation, but for the folks who are living in the time period we're talking about in this gospel, begging was something that people did for a living. So being allowed to sit at the gate and beg was, in a way, a symbol of compassion. He didn't have him hauled away. He didn't have him thrown in jail. He allowed him to sit there. But did he see him? Did he notice him? He knows his name, right? The rich man calls Lazarus by name after their deaths. But does he see him as a person? Does he bother to see him as a human being, as a child of God, with gifts and talents, with something valuable to contribute to the world? Or does he see him more with his eyes, but perhaps he can't see past the end of his nose? He sees him. He knows he's there. But his sin is refusing to acknowledge him as an equal, as a brother under the terms of the law, which is manifested even further, even after their deaths, right? Even when they're dead, and the rich man is in Hades, and the poor man, Lazarus, is with Father Abraham, the rich man still expects that Lazarus is going to come and serve him. He doesn't ask, he demands it, because he doesn't see the person as a real person. He's too far removed from the situation. He's shown charity and compassion to a degree, but as we learned a few weeks ago, compassion doesn't just mean throwing a bone his way every now and again. Compassion is suffering with. What Jesus expects of these folks and of us is that our service, which is in itself a discipline that we celebrate during the season of Lent, one that we practice and work hard on, is that that service involves seeing the people who are being served as those who have something valuable to contribute to our lives as well. It's really, really easy to send a few dollars their way. Much harder to pull up a seat at a table alongside of them and to learn about their lives. It's not a lack of physical service to the man that is the problem. It's the fact that the rich man doesn't see him as a real person. And so, is that to say then that the parable is saying that if we behave like the rich man, we're going to hell, and if we behave like Lazarus, we are going to heaven? That's one way we could possibly read this. I think there's an even stronger statement, though, that it's saying, is that for all of us, we have a chance. We have time. There's some urgency to this, right? We don't know how much time passes before Lazarus and the rich man die, but at this point, mortality is fairly certain. Human beings have about a 100% mortality rate, give or take a few hundredths of a percentage here and there, accounting for Jesus, of course. So there's time. There's time and there's opportunity for repentance. And repentance involves compassion, real compassion. It involves healing. There are many wounds. I mean, Lazarus had wounds on his body, physical wounds that the dogs licked. But But there are emotional, relational, and spiritual wounds that are in need of healing as well. Healing that can come from being compassionate, by showing compassion. Not all wounds are physical. Not all scars are visible to the naked eye. In just a few moments, we're going to express compassion for one another and receiving the ministry of healing from the Holy Spirit, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, God the Father. It's for us an acknowledgement of the fact that we are in need of healing, that we're in need of repentance, and that we need God to work on us so that our hard hearts, our inability to see others as God would see them, can be healed as well. The parable of the rich man and Lazarus is a cautionary tale for us, especially for those of us who lay claim to the name Christian, that truly following in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ means seeing all people with compassionate hearts, treating them as equals or even better than ourselves. The challenge is before us here today. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. God of grace, we thank you for stories that invite us into the kingdom that you are creating. Stories that give us a different value system, perhaps, than what we've had before. Stories that make us question the way that we have been living our lives. Stories that invite us deeper into relationship with you. We pray that we would learn at your feet, Lord, and that you would guide us and challenge us in new and exciting ways to live out this adventure you call discipleship in your world. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're able to stand, would you stand with me now as we profess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed? People of God, what do we believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.